Taken from John 14, 8 through 17, and 25 through 27, and this is the NRSV version. Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe because of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him because he abides with you, and he will be in you. I have said these things to you while I am still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid." And then our second scripture is from Acts 2, 1 through 21. The NRSV version. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages, as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every people under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native tongue of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. All who were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, 'What does this mean?' But others sneered and said, 'They are filled with new wine.' But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, 'Fellow Jews and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
At this point, I could say you're dismissed. I think the Holy Spirit is here, very much so. And I just appreciate the music that Richard and the choir brings every Sunday. It really does add a lot to our hearts. This morning, Robin read scripture from the Gospel of John, and this is sort of like a continuation. We've been in the Gospel of John for a while, but with Pentecost, we're going to be moving on to other scriptures, of course. But all of this is part of a long conversation that Jesus actually began with the Last Supper, and it ended with his arrest. It was those final hours before he would be hung on the cross. And throughout this conversation, and this has been going on, if we remember from weeks past with our scripture, we've heard Jesus say something like, I'm going to prepare a place for you, and I will come back. And then he will continue with, my Father will send another counselor after I'm gone. And we can only imagine what's going through those disciples' minds. So where are you going? And why is it that we cannot go too? And how are we supposed to go on when you're not with us? These are all reasons that we would feel troubled, and they definitely felt troubled. But at this point, Jesus is weary and he's burdened because he knows what is about to happen. Yet he answers the questions that they ask, and they still just did not understand. So now 50 days after the resurrection, it's the Feast of Weeks. It's this massive international crowd that's gathered in Jerusalem, unaware of what's about to happen. So the earth probably shook a little bit with all this loud, violent wind, almost like an explosion of violent wind, and those flames of fire that were kind of dancing in the air. This small group of disciples and believers were in the center of it all. They were feeling and they were hearing the promise that Christ had made to them 10 days earlier. The promise had arrived. God had made his presence known in this spectacular way. There were no barriers, not even language, as the Holy Spirit appeared in the form of fire, entering the hearts of thousands, changing and empowering each one with special gifts. The Holy Spirit was getting them prepared to be the body of Christ. So today is Pentecost, the arrival of the Holy Spirit, symbolizing that God's presence is available to everyone who will believe. Today is recognized as the birth of the church. But let's go back 33 years prior to the day of Pentecost, to a birth of a baby in a very dirty manger, and a 12-year-old boy who goes to a synagogue and is teaching the priest, to a young man who's turning water into wine and calling disciples, to a missionary going to the people that were unwanted, not accepted by many, a miracle worker restoring sight to the blind and helping the lame to walk, a compassionate teacher feeding over 5,000 hungry followers, and a leader teaching those he loved how to pray and praying for them. In Matthew, Jesus said, I will build my church. So think about it. Christ was the hands and the feet of the church before we ever heard the word church. The arrival of the Holy Spirit fulfilled what the prophet Joel spoke about, outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And the words of John the Baptist were fulfilled as well when he said that the one coming would baptize with fire. The new church, the body of Christ, began to take shape. It began to move and it began to speak, and it started to spread across the world and across time. So Was that time different from our world today? You know, all the accounts of the life and death and resurrection of Christ are more than just stories in a book. And each is actual event. They're each an actual event with real people and places. And the early Christians and the apostles were all eyewitnesses to the events of a ministry that brought hope and truth and love to everyone who would receive it. The same Spirit that was with them over 2,000 years ago. It's the same Spirit that's with us today. You know, sometimes society messes with our minds, especially with our beliefs. There are moments when we struggle with things that we do not understand or we cannot see. But yet, we stand up every Sunday and we affirm our belief in the Holy Spirit, who promised to be present with us even to the end of the age. The Holy Spirit gave new life at Pentecost. Think about it. The disciples were probably scared that they were going to be put to death if they were caught. They were troubled about Jesus leaving them. But Jesus promised a counselor to help them. To help them to remember everything that he had taught them over 3 years of them being with him. There was little understanding before the ascension, but now that the Holy Spirit has arrived, this is ignited within them, God's wisdom. Jesus had no plans for the apostles to return to their old jobs or to their normal life. Instead, he wanted them to plant and nurture the church. In Ezekiel, we read about the valley of dry bones. The bones are dried up and all hope is gone. But the Lord spoke, "I will put my Spirit in you and you will live." And the breath of the Holy Spirit gave life. At Pentecost, the apostles were resurrected into a new life. They were filled with this new energy fueled by the fire that burned in their hearts. And that energy and fire would fulfill the Great Commission into the world and across ages and time. And if you remember what the Great Commission says, and this is from Matthew, "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." The church was born out of love for everyone, regardless of nationality, of belief, economic status. That wasn't something that was God put out there as a list. This is a checklist. This is what you have to meet. That's not the way he works. The church was given its purpose by the Spirit, of which we are called to mission and ministry. It is our responsibility, our calling, to do our part by sharing our gifts. And how appropriate that you are with us this morning, coming to an area where maybe some of you all have never been before, but bringing your gifts to strangers and sharing. Our source of information is the Bible, where we read stories about so many individuals who probably went places they didn't want to go, but because they listened and obeyed, they endured pain, and they were willing to do that. And they were resistant, yet they did not give up on the church. And because of it, the church grew, because the Holy Spirit was there helping them to discern and to navigate. Before Christ ascended, he did not say, "I'll be gone for a while, but I'll be back in a couple weeks to see how things are going." Nor did he say, "If this plan does not work, I will introduce plan B." Like the song this morning that we sang, "To trust and obey, for there's no other way." John 14 also says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And the Holy Spirit helped each one to stay focused, keeping their faith as they shared that truth. Today, Our responsibility as Christians is to obey the call of the Holy Spirit and to trust Him to where He wants us to be. We carry the special gifts and talents inside our hearts for the purpose of bringing hope and love to a world that thinks that the church is irrelevant and that God does not exist. The apostles and the other believers did not fall away from the church even when they feared for their life, feared of being put in prison or being rejected because they told the truth. Instead, the thousands of early Christians took risks for the church. They went to the people and they served. They helped the sick and the poor, and they fed and they cared for the hungry, and still persevered because their strong belief and commitment to God. It was their Spirit-led actions that set God's church at great speed into the future. The disciples doubted that they could carry on after Jesus was gone, but the Holy Spirit empowered them to move with courage and strength as they began their missions. And what the passage that Robin read this morning about Pentecost, Peter gave a very powerful sermon on the day of Pentecost. And at that time, over 3,000 repented of their sins and were baptized. They came to know Christ for the first time. And remember, Peter was one of those individuals who often put his foot in his mouth and he seemed to act before he thought. But he became a fearless leader and a defender of the church. The Holy Spirit changed his attitude. The Holy Spirit works through those who seem the least likely to achieve any purpose. But that is because the Holy Spirit knows their hearts and their minds. And He knows those who are willing to step away from the ordinary to do something extraordinary. The disciples were witnesses at the beginning of the ministry, of Jesus' ministry. But they were not yet equipped to carry out the monumental task that they were called to do. And that happened when the Holy Spirit transformed their lives. God transforms us into a new life when we love unconditionally, when we forgive, when we take risks to bring change, when we stop doing things our way and follow His vision. He will transform us many times in our life. God's sanctifying grace shaped and molded the early Christians. And God's sanctifying grace is shaping and molding us today. Because we are the witnesses of today, of now. And we need that same courage and strength and faith of the disciples. God is depending on us to be His hands and feet. And we are depending on Him as our hands and feet start to move. Now, how all that works and how all that comes together may look a little different from what it did 2,000 years ago. But I can stand here and say it's going to look different from the way it was 2 years ago or even a year ago. I recently read a book by James Moore, Is There Life After Stress? And I would invite anybody to get into that series. I think I read every book during the COVID lockdown. But he was using the story of Lazarus, the poor disabled man, and the rich man. And this is what James Moore wrote. The rich man had forgotten how to see with his heart. As a local and a connectional worldwide church, we must always see with our hearts. As long as there is a need, we must not look at the world with dry eyes. In other words, we cannot turn our backs on what's standing in front of us. So tonight, our new bishop will call the annual conference to order after 2 years of being silenced by this invisible but very devastating sickness. And we will sing, and we are yet alive. And we will celebrate being gathered to worship on this day of Pentecost. And we will learn of churches who have closed due to unforeseen situations. And we will mourn the loss of many friends, but we'll also celebrate their dedication. And there will be discussions and disagreements about the future of the United Methodist Church and how it will or will not be connected. But there's a lot more positive going on than negative. Because tonight we're going to celebrate the ordination of new ministers, of new leadership at the conference and district and local levels. And we will share praise and joy for the continued support that we offer for the Sudan churches and the orphanages, for the school supplies to Liberia, for the food that's given out in the communities, for the new ministries beginning even in the midst of this sickness, growth by baptism due to making first-time commitments to Jesus Christ. And we'll celebrate hugs and fellowship. But we also celebrate vacation Bible schools and church camps, creativity camps, and youth mission trips. So tonight, we celebrate the church and how the church has sustained us through all of this by His presence, through the giving of new life, and by leading us to realize God's purpose as a united body of Christ. And today we celebrate the Great Commission and the work that we're all called to do. As Wesley moves forward, let us remember what Jesus said to His disciples. Wait. Be patient. Do not leave Jerusalem until the Spirit arrives. This is our time to wait and to be patient. The Spirit lives in us, and we must listen and wait for Him to convict us in our belief. And He will provide us with this inexhaustible energy and resources. And He will empower us with His strength to take those risks and to get us out of our comfort zones. And He will open our hearts to His vision. And He will assure us of His presence as we work to serve and to move the church into the future. In the name of the Holy Spirit, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, let us pray. During this week, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with each of you. Go in peace.